everyone, welcome to Cancer Healing Journey Talks. Myself, Shruti Dapke from Community Outreach Team of Zenonco.io and Love Heals Cancer. Cancer Healing Journey Talks helps cancer survivors and caregivers to share their journey with vast number of survivors as well as caregivers who have traveled or been traveling through this journey. This can inspire and motivate them for their faster recovery as well. Firstly, I would like to introduce today's speaker, Ms. Athiye. She's a breast cancer survivor. I'm happy that you're here with us today to share your journey with us. Over to you, ma'am. Please start with your introduction.
Hi, so my name is Athiye and I'm living in Canada in 2019. My journey has started, but if I wanted to talk about it like in more detail, I should say that it started way ago. Like I should say like 16 or 15 years ago, I found something like a bump or like a lump under my armpit in the left hand side. So I went to the doctor, they checked it and they were like, oh no, like there's nothing very special, use like a primrose oil or you know, just go with the healthy diet and it will go off. So I was just at the time, I was like, okay, so there's nothing very important. But then we found like in my breast, there was like some lump that I could feel them. So I went to the doctor, they checked it. And with the ultrasound and stuff, they told me that these are all benign and these are not cancer because of the shape and because of the size that they were seeing. And it is pretty normal to have like a fibrocystic breast in the people, especially in the age like after 25. So we were like, okay, everything is just pretty good. And then I went to do the regular ultrasound like every 6 months. And nothing was changed, so everything was smoothly went. And then like the size of the cyst and then the shape of them, they were all the same every 6 months. Then after it was in August 2018 when I felt like one of my breasts to the right side, it went up. And it was just like the, it was, you felt like a hard thing in the upper side of the breast. Like, and if you look at the clock, it's at the 12 o'clock. So I felt like something is just, sorry, I have to.
No, it's okay.
Okay, then. I found out that it is like a bit hard. So I went to my doctor and then asked like, what is this? So they sent me for another ultrasound because like as everyone kind of know, the medical system in Canada looks free. So that's why when you have like some problem, they sent you to the cheaper screen that they can find. So they sent me for the ultrasound and then so I went for the ultrasound and they said no, we cannot see anything change, but we can feel that it is harder. So it might be because you just pushed yourself to something or it's just some kind of infection. So let's go and then wait for 3 weeks and then come back. So I waited for 3 weeks, nothing has changed, came back and they were like, okay, so let's just do another mammogram. So for the fibrocystic breast, they are not recommending the mammogram much because there's like full of these cysts in the breast. So anyways, the mammogram would show the density. So they cannot understand exactly like what's happening. So they sent me to the mammogram and it was so painful. I had never had this experience, but it was pretty painful. And then right after that, I was feeling that all of my breast, like right breast, swollen, got swollen. And then I was like, so what is that? I blame the mammogram. I was like, no, I shouldn't get the mammogram. Like, they forced me and all of those stuff that you can say during those time. So, but the breast went up, and then I had like one normal breast. The other one was like, you know, up there. It was like a prosthesis or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I went to the doctor. They sent me again to the ultrasound. And then they were all like, yes, we can see that, but there is nothing that proves that you have like something going on there. And from August 2018 till February 2019, I waited for the specialist, like a breast cancer specialist, to, you know, see me. And then, you know, have a visit, an appointment with them. Then I went for the appointment on February 2019. As soon as he came to the room, he looked at me, and then he was like, okay, I'm gone. And I'm like, where are you going? So he went downstairs, like at the same building, and asked for the biopsy, but they were short in stuff. And they told me that, okay, you go and then come tomorrow, we can get the biopsy. And he told me that I'm pretty concerned. And they got the biopsy. And at the time, I suppose, and I had a ticket to go for the Mexico, like for the holiday. And they told me, just stop going there. Like, let's just wait for the result to come back. And it was pretty, like, you know, worrisome. I mm-hmm. knew that something's happening there, but for like almost 8 months, they were like, no, nothing special, no need to be worried. You are so, like, you know, sensitive on yourself. Don't do that. All of those stuff that I was hurt. Then they called me and they were like, yeah, come to the office. We want to see you. I went there, and the next day we had like a flight. So they told me, yeah, that's a cancer, and it is stage 3 because it is going to your lymph node as well. Like all of your lymph nodes in the right side of the body are involved. And then I told them, okay, that's all good. I can go for the, you know, vacation, because you forced me to wait for another like eight months, so I can wait another like week. But they said, no, you cannot, because it says that you have cancer, so you need a special travel insurance to go for the traveling. Otherwise, if something happened to you, no one can, you know, cover you. And I was like, okay, so we had to cancel our trip. And right after that, I was a very famous person after, because everyone was calling me. They called me to book an appointment for the MRI, for like, you know, the CT scan, PET scan, and all of those scans that they needed to do. And I was like, where were you before that? Like, I told you before that something's happening. Then, like, they wanted me to start the treatment. So I went, and then, you know, it was hard. Like, we had a hard 1 week, but then I was pretty lucky that we could just adjust, like me and my husband, we could adjust the new situation in a week. So, and then we were like, okay, we accept that there's something wrong, and we have to fix it. So we started, and then I started with the, you know, cutting my hairs. And then I was like, okay, let's just have the cute short hair for a while, at least while I have it, because I knew that I will lose all of those. So then we cut it, and then, yeah, and I started to talk about it with other people. So I was like, yeah, so take care of yourself. If you feel something's wrong in your body, please go and then, you know, talk about it with your doctor. Don't hide what you're feeling. And these are all the things that I started to talk. And then after a while, I was like, so let's just start talking with other people and like have use my like Instagram as a public journal for myself. So I put all of the information and all of the things that I'm getting and I learn in the Instagram for other people as well. And it was pretty good for myself as well, because like having a journal in your journey is just helping you talking to someone. It means like you're talking to someone that you don't know, and it just like it work as a support group for you. So basically I started doing that, and then the first session of the treatment for the chemo has started. And then after the first session, it was going to start with the first session, like in the morning of the first session, they called me. And they were like, you know what, in the breast MRI that we had, we saw that some spot is just going up in your chest and in your ribs. So I guess it's not a stage 3, it's a stage 4. And I was like, okay, what does it mean? They were like, okay, we're going to start and go with the plan with the chemo, but we don't think that the chemo would work. So we're going to go for 3 rounds, because they're supposed to go with the 6 rounds. And we're going to go with the 3 rounds and with the, like, you know, the invasive treatment. And then after, we're going to see how it goes, because it doesn't sound that it will work. And I was like, what does it mean? Like, what are you saying? They're like, okay, I'll just come and then get some, you know, blood tests. And then after we can talk about it. So they took the blood test, and then after they sent me for the chemotherapy. And it was the most stressful day in my life, because I didn't know what will happen. Like, they told me, okay, get this drug, get this treatment, but we don't know if it's going to work. And I'm like, so why are you giving me this treatment? So it was like full of question, full of cry, full of like, you know, argument and all of those stuff. But it went, and, you know, everything passed. And then we had like the first treatment as the plan goes, like in the 14th day of the treatment, because I had it every 3 weeks. On the 14th day, I started to lose my hair, and I shaved all of those down. And the another day that was like really hard was losing the hair. Like, I always used to have like a long, you know, hair, and they were like curly, pretty, like, you know, and I really like love my hair. So when I short them, you know, when I cut them short, it was like good and beautiful, and it was pretty new for me. But then after like losing them all, it was pretty hard, especially for the women. I can, you know, say that it is pretty hard for the women losing hair. Then, everything went well. And then after every treatment, I had like a conversation with my oncologist, and they were all telling me that we don't know what will happen. Like, it's just it sounds like it's going to your bone, and then you have like some tiny spot on your like ribs and back, and they, you know, even like a pelvic and all of those stuff. So they were like, we cannot do a biopsy, like a bone biopsy or something, because the size is pretty tiny, so we cannot even put the needle on it. And we were like, okay, so what we can do? They were like, yeah, we have to continue. And then we were looking for another treatment, because they told us that we don't think that it's gonna work. So I found some immunotherapy, some, like, you know, trials, and then I told them that this is what I found, but none of them were covered by the Canada, you know, health insurance, so you had to pay out of pocket, and it was pretty expensive. So like, for example, for a month, we had to like pay for a month of treatment, only a month of treatment, we had to pay like almost $20,000, which is like much. And we didn't know like how long we should have it. So, and we couldn't like, we had to like sell everything on our life to get 1 month of treatment. So, which was crazy.
Mm.
So I talked about it with my doctor, and then he told me that don't make a false hope for yourself. These things won't work. These are all trials. So we don't know. Let's just not spend all of this money and then live with it. You may have like 6 months or so, and we'll see. So I was like, okay, what's the point? So I was struggling. We wanted, like, my husband was like, yeah, we can sell even everything. We can just use this money to treat you. And I was like, no, what's the point? If I'm gonna like live only for 6 months, what's the point of like spending all of this money? And it was like all of the conversation that like put a lot of stress, a lot of, you know, sadness in our life. But it was like all of these things like I went through, it just passed. And then now that I'm talking about it, I feel like I'm not sad anymore. I'm not like, you know, feeling nervous or something about it. Mm-hmm. And I can talk about it more openly. But even like before that, it wasn't like that. So for like, even like, I should say like for 2-3 months, we were like talking about all of these things. Then I had like a PET scan, and it was after the third round of chemo. So they told me that, oh, look at the result. We've seen something changed. We've seen the shrink of the cyst. And by the way, my kind of cancer, it was like a... it was something different. So it wasn't the ductal that everyone else has. Like most majority of the breast cancer is for the ductal. Like the these are the, you know, the Milky Way of the, when you want to breastfeed. But mine was lobular, which is like, which they cannot see that in the ultrasound or mammogram. They have to do the MRI to see that.
Okay.
And that's why they couldn't like detect it earlier, because in a ultrasound and in the you know, mammogram, it wouldn't show itself.
Yeah.
So they had to do the MRI, and it was like making me a little, you know, mad about all of the process in place. So then, never mind, like I go back and forth always. So then after the third, they were told me that, okay, we are seeing some progress, that's good, we are going with a harsh and really invasive you know, treatment. So do you want to continue or you want to change it? And I was like, you know what, this is working, so let's just go with that. They were like, no, it's hard, your body cannot tolerate it, and then we can change it to the lower dose. And I was like, no, I want to go with the same dose, it's working, and I want to do that. They were like, okay, these are all on you then. If something happened to your body, if your body went like, you know, got weaker and weaker, it's just all on you. And I was like, okay, I accept everything. Then they started, and then another 3 rounds with the same invasive treatment. And then they were shocked. So after the another like 6 months, they were like, okay, it's shrinked a lot. Now, what's the next step? They were like, okay, the next step normally is just doing the mastectomy. But for you,
because it is like all over the place, system mastectomy is just like going to be like not useful. And it's just like a waste of your energy, waste of the money and all of those stuff. I was like, let's do it. I want to do that anyways. So I had another debate to just getting the, you know, reconstruction again or not after the mastectomy. So I talked to several doctors. I talked to people who got the reconstruction. I talked to, like, you know, some consultants and all of those stuff. So for the first, I wanted to get the reconstruction because I didn't know how would I look without the breasts. Because we live with the breasts like for the whole life, right? And then not having the breasts is just something that you cannot like imagine yourself without. So I went even to the plastic surgery, and then they gave me a time and all of those stuff. But talking to all of the people, I figured out that first, it's going to be like a long surgery, like at least 11, 12 hours of the surgery, which was pretty hard for the body that I had. It was like pretty weak. I couldn't like even, you know, move, and it was like hard for me. So I would put myself in the pretty dangerous thing. The second was that because I had like a metastasis to the bone, the problem was that when you have the prosthesis, it's hard for MRI to detect underneath that. So we cannot have the MRI anymore. And it was like, you know, worrisome. And then the third was talking to some people without the breast, like a flat, and they told me they were pretty fine. So I was like, okay, let's just be flat. So I asked them to do the double mastectomy. They were like, no, don't do that. Like, get only the right one, which all the problem came from. And I was like, no, I want to do the both. I just don't want to be worried about this one and then go like all the, you know, mammogram and ultrasound every now and then. So even the minute after, like before I got like into the surgery room, they told me, are you sure? And I was like, yes, I'm sure, do that. So I had the double mastectomy. It was hard. I had an infection after because of the weakness of my body. But it took me like for the people, like the normal people with the good immune system and like, you know, stronger body, it took them like a month to recover and then everything would be good. But for me, it took like at least like 4 months. But, you know, it was good still. Then right after, like, it was so shocking that I could get used to it in less than a week. I accepted that, okay, this is my new body without the breast, and it's not bad. Like, no one would mention it. Like, even if I walk in the road and like in a street and no one know that I have like a cancer or I used to have a breast, they wouldn't like recognize anything. It was like, okay, so do you know that I don't have breasts? They were like, oh no, it's not noticeable. So I was like, okay, what's the point of having the reconstruction then? Yeah, so then I had like a they told me that the next step would be having the radiotherapy, and I was like, okay. So I went to the doctor and they told me, like, my oncologist again told me that, oh, that's a waste of time, don't do that, it's not gonna work because your cancer is just all over the body, it's not only like in local. But I said, you know what? I want to get some radiotherapy. They were like, okay. So 16 rounds of radiotherapy, I got it for my lymph nodes. Because they removed like 36 lymph nodes from my arm, like an armpit. And the result came back. When the result came back of the pathology of my breast, the right breast were full with cancer, like all the pieces. They could find only 2 millimeters margin, which was great. Like, they didn't know that they could get it. And it was amazing. It was like 1.5 millimeters of margin. And they took out like 36 newts. All of them were cancerous, all of them. And as I insisted, they removed the left breast. And in the pathology, they found out that there is another cancer in the left breast that they didn't detect it in any screens. So it was the first thing. It was almost like stage 0 or 1. Mm-hmm. And it was another thing. It wasn't even metastatic. It was something else that was developing. And it was a good call. Like, they were like, oh, you were so wise to ask for double mastectomy. I was like, yeah, I told you.
Yeah, actually. So,
then they told me that you, like, you rescue yourself, your life. And I was like, yeah, I'm the advocate of myself. So do that. Then what happened then? I went on the, like, I was on a hormonal therapy as well. So they, like, every month I should go to the hospital, and they put like a, I got a shot in my belly to just stop working of my ovaries and my, you know, uterus and all of those stuff, because they produced hormones, and my cancer type was just completely hormonic, so they are eating hormones and grow. So they shut this down, and it was pretty painful. So I told them, can I remove the uterus and ovaries? They were like, oh, what if you wanted to get pregnant after? I was like, after, you mean when? They were like, in 10 years you might need to have like a baby or something. I was like, so in 10 years I would be almost like 50 years old. And then now I had to put lots of stress on myself to get pregnant. Then during the pregnancy, there's a hormone rush in my body. So the hormone will be like feeding the cancer cells. So why I should get that? Like, why I should bring first someone to this world that with lots of stress. So this stress is not good for the baby when you want to have it. Two, like, I put myself in danger just to get a baby. I can adopt whenever I want, right? So yeah, what's the point?
Right.
Let's just remove all of those. And then you are like, these are like, all the drugs and treatments are good for removing the cancer, but these are all like toxic. These are all not good for your body, for the other like healthy cells of your body. So I want to reduce the dosage of the toxic to my body. So I asked them, please remove all of those. Then they got, like, I had an appointment in 2020, which was the pandemic year. And then it postponed it sometimes. But then finally in October 2020, I had an appointment and then removed it. So I removed all of those and then got menopause. So right now I'm on the hormonal therapy. And every 3 months I'm getting Lexometal for my bones. The last PET scan was showing NED. If you know, the NED result is just the NED, like no evidence of disease. It means that there is no active cancer cell in my body, but they cannot say that I'm cancer free because there are some cell that they cannot detect it in anything, like any screens, like the one that I had in my left breast. And so they said that you still have to continue with all of those like chemo and stuff till it works, like until it works. Because they believe that the cancer cells are pretty like smart, so they can find a way to round the treatment and then start growing again. But for now, everything is going well. So we can just stop it. We control the cancer cell. And it's good to not having the active cells in my body. So I call myself survival, but they are not. But I don't care what they said. So my journey was telling me that I can trust my doctor, but not fully. So when they told me this treatment is good, I will think about it. And I would say, yes, it's good. But if they told me that you won't leave like in a week or so, I won't accept it. It's just up to me what I wanted to do and what the plan is. So yes, they told me once that you will have only 6 months, but now look at me, like it's been 2 years and a half and I'm still alive, pretty good. And I feel that I'm healthy. So yeah. Okay, then.
So if there is a patient who is going through the same journey as yours, what would be your advice or suggestion to her?
I guess the main thing is just be patient on yourself. Accept the things that happen. It's just the accident. It can happen to anyone. It's not you. There's nothing that you did or any of your family did that you deserve this. No one deserves these things. It's just something that happened. It's just an incident. So accept it and then live with it. Like, we don't know, like even the healthy person, the healthiest person that you know, they don't know how long they will live. They don't know if they have like 1 day, 1 hour, 1 month, or like 1,000 years. We don't know. So today, when you wake up and then you see that you can breathe and there is no pain in your body, just appreciate it and just live with it. Like, you have to live with this thing. So all of the surgeries, all of the, you know, treatment and stuff would be like pretty stressful and totally understandable. Accept this stress. Don't like what I did. One of the things that I did that was wrong was just punishing myself for having the stress. It was like, that's nothing. Why are you stressed so much? And it was wrong. Like, I should have accepted this stress. I should have said, yes, it's my right. Like, it's my body. And the stress is pretty normal. I should have it. I shouldn't like punish myself that why I have like this stress, why I'm like worried so much.
Yeah.
Because it's happened. Like, this is the thing. And so, yeah, we are in so much stress. We are worried about our family, mostly, especially if you have kids, you're worried about your kids. But yes, you're right. You have to be worried. And but you know what, you have today, you have now.
Yeah,
so do whatever you like. Don't pay that much attention to the people who are saying that no, don't do that, don't eat this, like this is not good for you, don't like go there, it's not good for you. You know better your body, you know which is good for you, it's not. So they told me don't go for the, like, you know, the tattoos, or don't go for like these things. But I felt like sometimes that I need it. So even like yesterday, I went for the manicure and pedicure. It's just because I felt that it will make my, you know, mental health better. So I went.
Yeah, make you happy, right?
Exactly. Like, whatever makes you happy, go for it.
Yeah,
like, this is your life, this is your body, and this is your decision. But don't forget the treatment. Yeah, there's a treatment, and these treatments are pretty good for you. Like, there are lots of doctors. They are studying hard, they are doing all of the study, and they are doing like they dedicate their life for these things, to find these treatments. So these treatments are actually working. Trust them. Like, I know some people that they are like, no, these are all toxic. I didn't want to go that. I want to go with the herbal thing and all of those stuff. Yeah, herbal can be like beside your actual treatment, but don't forget the actual treatment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have to sum up your journey in just one line, what it would be?
I loved it.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I loved it. It changed my whole world. It changed my whole personality.
Yeah.
And I love
it. Okay. Yes. Thank you for your valuable time. I'm sure this session really motivates people out there who have traveled or been traveling through cancer. It was lovely having you here today. Once again, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the amazing work. And I really hope that all of the patients that you're working with, they're having the great time in their journey. I know the journey sucked, but you can have the great time.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, thank you.